Well, here we are on the last Sunday of the year. The church year, of course, not the calendar year. There's all kinds of calendars out there. This is just one more of them. And I've always found it fascinating that we end the church year with the Reign of Christ Sunday, or Christ the King Sunday, depending on which tradition you come up with. And I've always wondered if it is just an opportunity for us to remind ourselves what's actually going on before we step into the next church year and begin with Advent. Because the two are rather dramatically different, aren't they? A king and a baby. And for that matter, when we step back and we look at the reign of Christ, and then we look around, where do we see it? It's easy for us to look out into the world and look at something like Sandy, that storm that disrupted the lives of millions and took the lives of many. Just on the news this morning, I heard of yet another factory fire in Bangladesh, probably started because of faulty wiring. Many were killed because they simply couldn't get out of the building. It wasn't built to allow for that to happen easily. And I hear that and I think, well, where's the reign of Christ there? Well, it's a truism, perhaps even a cliche, that you will see what you look for. And if you're looking for signs of a fallen world, if you're looking for signs of how God's great gift to us of free will, of choice, of volition have been misused, you'll see them everywhere. But what if you look for the other signs? Particularly at this time of the year, we see signs of generosity. This is the time of the year where we see it most frequently, but we all know it happens year-round. People giving to people they don't even know. Whether it's money or physical things to the Salvation Army, to redistribution those who don't have anything. This time of year we hear of toy drives and things of that nature, so those who can't have a Christmas like most of us will have, will be able to have that. I saw it not that long ago in the kindness of a stranger who said, oh yeah, we'll pull you out of the ditch. And because, well, you may as well give farming folk one more reason to snicker at city folk, even gave us some gas to go with it, because, well, we're on the edge. Did he pull us out because we said we'll give you money? No. I think if we would have offered to pay him for pulling us out, he would have been offended. Gas, of course, that's a thing. It's a commodity. But kindness? You don't pay for kindness. It's everywhere. We see it all the time. Where people hold the door open. People they don't know. Not because they're unwell or they're on a cane or something, although that happens too, but sometimes just hold the door open because it's a good thing to do. Every time we see goodness, we see generosity and grace extended to those around us, we see the reign of Christ. The reign of Christ is almost a paradox for us. And the paradox is most pointed for those of us who have a very high view of God. And we've spoken of this before, and I'm sure we will again, that people who don't really think God is that much of a thing, it doesn't bother them when they see evil the same way it bothers us. Because when we look there, we know that an all-powerful God could do something about that. We know it. It's not just something we think or wish. We know that. The Bible is filled with stories of God miraculously intervening when needed. And we see things, places, situations where we say, God, you are needed here. It's time for you to miraculously intervene. And yet he doesn't. And when he doesn't, that's when we start wondering, is the reign of Christ real? Is he actually the king, or is he just a pretender? Or will he actually be the king at the end of all things, when he returns in glory, or whatever that looks like, whenever it happens? Then he'll be the king, and right now he's the king in waiting. Sort of like Prince Charles. No. There is no sense of that whatsoever. And it couldn't be any more clear than in our Revelation reading this morning. Revelation is a book that gets a bad rap because parts of it are confusing. I think, well, parts of me are confusing, and you put up with me, so I don't know why you wouldn't put up with a book in the Bible that you don't understand everything about. And lots of parts of it are absolutely clear. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Alpha and Omega, the A to Z, the everything, always has always been, always will be, and has always been a king. Christ's kingship didn't start with the ultimate affirmation of his resurrection after his crucifixion. There was never a time when Jesus was not king. We have this service in particular to remind us of that. We celebrate the reign of Christ that has been forever. We don't even have language to describe it, because it didn't have a beginning. It doesn't have an end. And we're reminded of it this Sunday in particular, as I said, because next Sunday we move into Advent and we focus on the great gift of God's condescending to our world to come as a baby. So we would have a high priest, a savior, a king, who, as it says in Hebrews, will have experienced everything we've experienced, so we know beyond the slightest shadow of a doubt that God understands. But it pushes us back all the time to say, well, what does the reign of Christ mean now? Why doesn't it mean that everything works, that everything's okay, that there is no sickness, that everybody's well, that everybody's prosperous? And it's because we have a king, not a dictator, but a king who cares for us. There are days, for me, I won't speak for anybody else in the world, but I suspect this might be common, there are days when I really wish God had not trusted me with volition, with choice, because I don't choose well every day. I just don't. I wish I did. I choose sometimes to roll through a stop sign. I choose sometimes, not today, to drive faster than the speed limit. Sometimes I choose to drive slower than the speed limit because it's pretty, which is just as illegal. Does that mean that the laws don't exist? The time for the children, what I was aiming at was this whole idea that we say, well, the reign of Christ can't be here because look at all the evil everywhere. And I said, well, okay, let's continue that. Let's hold that as a notion. Let's see if it holds true. We have a number of traffic laws, and I would be surprised if there's anyone here who has driven for any length of time who hasn't broken at least one of them at least once. Perhaps on purpose, perhaps unintentionally, it doesn't matter. If you've broken it, does that mean there are no laws? Of course not. That's absurd. So are we saying that in a world in which we've been given the privilege of choice, that we choose to act against what is obviously Christ's intention for us as king, does that mean that he has no reign? That's equally absurd. To say that disasters happen, that people are evil and cruel and unkind and unthinking, somehow means that Christ isn't the king. It's as foolish as saying we have no code of laws because people steal. The reality of Christ's kingship doesn't rest on our choices. We, as followers of Jesus, can give better evidence to his reality within us. We're called to do that. We're called to be witnesses to the reality of the Holy Spirit within us that came as we moved into a relationship with God through Jesus. But when we don't, it doesn't mean that God is somehow powerless. It doesn't mean that there is no king or that the king is evil in some way. It means that at this time and for this time, we're allowed to choose. That the king we have has said, I don't want robots. I don't want automatons or puppets. I want people who think carefully and choose to do what's right. But because people are essentially fallen, and the world in which we live is essentially fallen, it's broken in ways that we simply can't fix, I will make it possible for those fallen people to be restored to me. And that's through Jesus. My occasional frustration with my own free choice doesn't change the fact that I'm tremendously grateful for it. In the same way that I'm bigger than my children, I suppose I could probably force them to say they love me. I don't know what that would be like. I've never tried it. But what I do know, that when they spontaneously say it, when I get a text from my kids saying I did this well, or I did whatever on this assignment, and I text back saying, I'm so proud of the work that you've done. And I text back and say, thank you, I love you. When Neela makes a card that says, I love you, Daddy, all over it, I wouldn't trade that for anything. Because it comes from the choice that she's made. When we choose to live out the reality of Christ's kingship, it's exactly the same as that. Yes, God could force us to never misbehave, to never sin. But what would that mean? In the same way that it would mean so little compared to the free choice to love, to be generous, to be gracious, to be willing to sacrifice for others, sometimes for people we don't even know. It's more satisfying for us. Imagine how much more satisfying it is for God. When we look at what Scripture tells us to do and we say, that's going to be hard, but I'm going to try it anyway. When we read in Scripture that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich person to make it into heaven, we remind ourselves that we're rich. It's hard for us. We can insulate ourselves from so many things with our possessions, our money. When we choose not to, when we choose to let the realities of the fallen world make a difference to us in how we spend our time and our resources, when we let it shape our prayer lives, when we come together in worship, not just patting ourselves on the back, but saying we are so glad to be together here, and we wish everyone could have the same experiences of worship. When we do those things, we bring pleasure to God and ourselves. When we live that whole life that we've been called to live, a life of awareness of our own abilities and skills and gifts that have been given to us that we might give them back to the community in which we live more satisfied lives. There's no sum of money that can compare to working out what you're good at for the benefit of others. There's nothing more satisfying than that. There's nothing more satisfying than taking the experience that you've gained, some of it painfully, and providing it to others in the form of wisdom, of helping others avoid the pitfalls that you fell into. And every time we do that, we give witness once again to the reign of Christ. If we never give witness to it, it doesn't change its fundamental reality. It's always there. But we get to be part of letting everybody know. It's a wonderful thing to be trusted with responsibility. But you've still been trusted with responsibility. You have to discharge it. You have to exercise it. You have to take that responsibility you've been given and do whatever it is, whether it's working at your job or volunteering or whatever it might be. And one of the responsibilities we've been given is to help demonstrate the truth of the reign of Christ. If we choose to look at it in one way, it could be a heavy, almost crushing sense of responsibility. But it's not. Instead, we should look at it as the opportunity for us to, in the power of the Holy Spirit, give that witness. Knowing that we'll make mistakes. Knowing that we're not perfect. Knowing that we can always come back to our Father through Jesus and say, I was trying hard, and I messed up. I'd like to go again. The answer is always yes. The answer is always, of course. Because in the same way that Christ has been the King forever, he's also said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He doesn't say, I'll always make things easy for you. He says, I'll always be there. And when we make those mistakes that are inevitable, he's still there, inviting us back in to the full relationship that we can have with him, so we can continue to live in the light of the reality that no matter what the occasional bits of evidence might suggest, Christ is and always has been and always will be the King. Amen.